Welcome back to the Isolationist Podcast. Do I still have listeners? I sure hope not. I don't know yet, though, because to be honest, the very first podcast hasn't even fucking come out yet. I've done a couple of these in 2 weeks, just trying to fucking figure out my voice and shit. So, Christmas is coming up, so I want to talk about that. And last night I was watching the show called Community. It's amazing. I love it. And then it reminded me, because I'd forgotten that I went to community college for 2 years. I'd completely forgotten that pretty much. So I just wanted to tell a couple stories from that. So to set this up, in high school, my last year of high school, probably my last 2 years, I'd gotten horribly, horribly addicted to cocaine. My brother's friend had got me in Philly, got me moving cocaine for him around, him and his friends. So I would throw a brick in a backpack and bring it across the city in Philadelphia, or I would, I'd bring it from, North Philadelphia up to up Route 1 to these, they had this weird, it wasn't like a Chinatown city thing, but they had those weird pagoda roofs, take it there and I would drop it off. A lot of times they would, they'd pay me some money or they'd just give me some uncut cocaine. And I'd gotten cripplingly addicted to it. I was doing tons of that every day. At the same time, I was doing mixed martial arts. I was fighting every day. Between high school and my family, a number had been done on me mentally. High school was not good for me. My family was not good for me during those times. So, basically, I kicked coke. I started going to NA, and then I quit NA because I found out it was owned by Scientologists, which fucks me, right in the head still to this day. So when I quit coke, I needed something else to get really, really addicted to. So I got really addicted to mixed martial arts, and I got my shit together, but I was certifiably insane during this time in my life. I know this because I met my best friend pretty much during this time. His name is Lou Falciani. He's a Dago from Asbury, New Jersey. Alright, he's a big guy. He's my height. He's always outweighed me by about 5 or 6 pounds. He was a pitcher for the baseball team. He was in my accounting class, huh? Alright, I'm done doing that. That's how he talks in my mind. Whenever he talks, he doesn't talk like that, but when he does talk, I always imagine him talking like that in my mind. He was in my accounting class, and I'd never fucking spoken to him. And one day, he just walked over and he sat down next to me in accounting before the teacher had come in. I'm sitting there, fucking still a little bit tweaked out of my head, not doing blow anymore. And this kid, bigger, fucking stronger, faster than me, I could tell right off the bat, had no fucking idea how crazy I was. And he goes, "Hey," he goes, "I'm gonna take your homework." In my head, I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Am I back in high school? This is college. This is community college. There's not supposed to be bullies here. We're all supposed to just smoke pot in our own cars and want to go home and not make any friends for 2 years because we're all fucking ruthless animals who fucked up our lives and had to go to community college." But, I go, "No." And he goes, "All right, I'm going to copy your homework then." And I went, "You can go fuck yourself, dude." And then he goes, no, "You don't understand. I am going to copy your homework, no matter what you say." And right there, he gained some respect for me. And I went, "You know what? I think we're going to just skip this class." So I let him copy my homework. We left it on the front fucking desk because the teacher hadn't come in yet. And he and I went to a pool hall. 20 minutes later, my best friend, I'm now 30, this was when I was 18, just graduated high school, first year of college basically, or first first or second year of, yeah, no. Okay, yeah, sorry. I'm trying to figure out the timeline in my head. My brain's a little scrambled because I was quitting cocaine. Yeah, so I was like, yeah, 18. Yeah, I had to have been 18 because I just graduated high school. Here's the thing. If anyone's 18 and listens to this, you're not a fucking person yet. You're this crazy ball of fucking hormones. Your brain isn't fully fucking formed. You're nuts. I was especially nuts. And 20 minutes after meeting Luke Falcioni, he broke a pool cue over my fucking back because I beat him in pool. And then I fucking tackled him through drywall. And I ended up getting hurt more because when I tackled him, my head went into a beam and his body went into drywall. And then, I don't know, we just became friends for fucking life. All it took was some physical fucking violence and some respect between one another. So that's how fucking crazy I was at this time. But the thing is, in community college, there's a lot of other crazy fucking human beings in community college. Normal people don't really go to community college. I had fucked up really bad in high school. Like, I'd gotten my shit together a little bit too late in the game to go to real college. I hadn't even applied to college coming out of high school. I just didn't think it was an option for me. I thought I was gonna fight for the rest of my life. To be honest, at 18 I didn't know what I was gonna fucking do because no one thought I was gonna make it to 18, with the way I was living my fucking life. So since I was fighting all the time, I was actually the treasurer. We had started a mixed martial arts club on campus. There was also a probie, what do they call them? Where they train police officers, an academy at my school. So every day I was fucking fighting. Every single fucking day, they would bring the probies in, to the gym, and they would have them work on, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, Sistema. I had two dudes, two of the scariest dudes that have ever walked this face of the fucking earth. A dude named Big John Stepien and Arseny Gavrilovich. Now, Big John now holds some world records for grip strength. He can roll pans with his bare fucking hands. He's about 300 pounds. And his favorite thing in the world to do was crush my fucking ribs. He'd just fucking bring me around his back with my head on one side of him and my legs on the other. And he would just bring me inward and crush my fucking ribs. And every fucking time, I could never stop him from doing it. He would gator roll me, and then he'd fucking crush my ribs. And Arseny was a fucking national sambo champion straight out of Russia, who they had apparently shipped in. They'd shipped into some school in New Jersey in Bernardsville, I think? Yeah, this place called Bernardsville. They'd shipped him from Russia to Bernardsville. To prove that they had, like, they did this a lot in New Jersey. They'd take kids from, like, other countries or, like, other areas of, like, New York that were bad, and they would bring them to their school to give these kids a chance. Arseny was a sambo champion, and I fucking, one time I smiled at him, and he punched me in the fucking mouth and almost knocked three of my teeth out. I was bleeding for fucking hours afterwards. Because he was like, we do not smile when we train. But that's a lie because he didn't have a Russian accent anymore. He had lost that. He had been in America for a while. But those were my two training partners. So I was a fucking psychopath because at this point I was 6'5" and maybe 170 pounds. I was just a fucking psych. I was so nuts. So another thing that happened because of all this, the school security guards used to come in and train with me and these guys. There were two other guys named Dylan and Wes who both came, who both won NAGA championships, I think. That's the North American Grappling Association. They've both been ranked number one in it. And they train under Euler Gracie Hoist? God, my memory sucks. It was Hoist Gracie. They trained at the same school as Kit Harrington, Kit Cope, Kit Harrington, Kit something. The dude who just knocked out CM fucking Punk, I used to train with. Mickey. That's it. Mickey O'Donnell? Mickey... Not Mickey Rourke. Mickey... Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Mickey something. The security guards used to come and train with us, too, because they realized that we had some fucking... It's some monstrous Latino kids. My school had shipped in... they'd ship in kids from Coney Island and Harlem, get them to community college and give them a free education. Admirable, not so good, the kids that they chose. So one day, I'm just sitting out. I used to smoke clove cigarettes because I was a fucking loser. I was that guy who thought he was so fucking cool. I'd sit there and smoke Jerems in the courtyard or smoke a joint in the courtyard and no one would fucking talk to me. Until later on. Took me to my second year in community college to actually make a friend, besides Lou. And Lou and I didn't really hang out. We weren't hanging out friends outside of school. Just when we were in school, we just fucking sized people up and caused problems. But one day, the security guards from our school, they see me in the courtyard smoking Jerems. And they're like, we fucking need you. And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, there is... a monstrous, monstrous human being. He just threw chairs. He threw like 3 chairs at a teacher. Now these weren't like just chairs. These were the chairs with the desks attached. I don't know if any of you have taken one of those to the head like I have in high school, but those things fucking hurt. And I go, all right, I fucking love this shit. Let me do this. Let me go and see this monstrous human being that they're so fucking scared of, who's chucking desks. And they bring me into the classroom. Again, I'm 6'5", 175 pounds. And what I see is this massive Latino kid. He had cracked the chalkboard by throwing a desk at it. And in my mind, I went, all right, I can handle this, no big deal. So I walked in, I'm in the room. See that? See everyone pretty much freaking out. Other people haven't left the room. Students are in the corner. Forget what the teacher said. Something said something to this kid that fucking set him off. So I walk in, and he goes. He was flipping out. The security guards came back after he'd like apparently he'd beaten the shit out of one of the security guards. That's why they came and saw me and grabbed me. And I go, hey man, why don't you step the fuck outside? We can have a quick one in here or a long one outside. That's something my dad taught me. He taught me that at a young age. He goes, you want to avoid 90% of fights, ask them if they want a quick one inside or a long one outside. Most people will back the fuck down. So this guy goes, long one. Deadpan in my eyes, and I go, ha ha, your mistake, buddy. I love kicking fucking people in the neck. I'm going to Superman punch this kid in the fucking neck. So him and I go back out to the courtyard. The Jerem that I was smoking, I pick up, I light it, trying to be cool. I wanted to fight with a cigarette in my mouth. Also, a great move I learned to start any fight was if you have a cigarette lit, you flick the ember in someone's fucking eyes. They can't do shit for a couple seconds, you get the upper hand. So, this dude, light up the smoke and he goes, all right. And I square up and he squares up and he punches me with the fastest, one of the fastest, and one of the hardest punches I felt in a very long time. Now again, my training partners were just really, they were big dudes. But this was apparently someone who was mentally ill, maybe a little slow and challenged. And if you don't know anything about those people, when they fucking punch, it hurts. Your bones vibrate. Your brain goes, what's going on? You can't see. And all of a sudden, your mouth, it tastes like fucking metal. It just tastes like someone took a bunch of nickels, threw them in a sock, made tea out of them, and then splashed you in the fucking mouth with it. So this dude cranks me in the head. I'm still standing, surprisingly, and I go, oh shit, I'm in a fight with a mentally ill person. I'm gonna fucking die. So I'm avoiding punches. I'm slinging a couple right hands at him, slinging a couple lefts, and I go, oh shit. He and I are moving, though, a lot. There's no circle around us. There's nothing to stop us. So he and I are moving around a lot, trying to dodge each other so that the other person punches themselves out. Punching yourself out, that's like, that's a term for when you get fucking tired because you're swinging and missing too much. Punches take a lot out of you with cardio. So after a little ways, there was a 3-story stone step that went from the top of the campus down to the bottom of the campus. And we got close to it. And I am horribly losing this fight. Horribly losing this fight. So I, like a completely sane and normal human being, run at this dude. And one of my favorite things to do is to take a couple steps back, get some space. And then at this point, I was doing pretty well. So I could donkey kick people. My favorite thing. A donkey kick's where both your legs go in the air. You fucking kick someone in the chest and you send them flying. Then you fall and you fucking hit your head and you just hope that you hurt them enough. Or when they fucking went flying, they're done too. There's a story in my book. Again, every podcast I'm going to talk about my book. There's a story in my book where this dude tried to hate crime my gay RA. I ended up donkey kicking this dude up a flight of stairs. And fucking landing on a metal grate, and both of us were fucking done. Well, this is a precursor to this story. This is when I discovered that I could donkey kick people, and I really love fucking doing it. This guy, I am losing. I have a fucking swollen up side of my face. My jaw's hurting. The dude has worked my body pretty fucking good. He had gotten at least 4 or 5 liver shots in. This guy knew how to box, and he was fucking insane. So I go, all right, I'm not going to win fisticuffs with this guy. Either I can take him down or I can donkey kick him. And I go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to donkey kick this guy. So I donkey kick him and he takes about 5 steps backwards. And what I didn't realize was on that 6th step he took, he went down 3 flights of stone fucking steps, landed at the bottom. Couple of other kids that were trying to come up the steps moved. They were staring at me as this kid lay motionless at the bottom of the steps. And I looked at the security guards who hadn't helped me the entire time. They just sat there watching me get my ass kicked. And I went, this is your fucking fault, you fucking dirtbags. And then I walked back into the courtyard, a bloody mess. I walked back to a bathroom, got some fucking paper towels, wiped myself off. Stopped all the bleeding in my face, went back to smoking a Jerem. The last story that I'm going to tell right now about community college, I was in, like I said, they used to ship underprivileged kids from like Coney Island and Harlem. They used to scare the shit out of everyone else who was just like, you know, some fucking white kid from the suburbs who had gotten into heroin too much and fucked up his life and was in community college. These kids were scary as fuck to people, not so scary to me. I joined something called the, I think it was Interact or Unity, something like that. I joined one of these clubs because I'd always loved black people. Me encanta la Latinos y yo hablo español pequeño, está así así. Me encanta la Latinos mucho. Tengo mucho Latino ojuela. just that I have a lot of Latino pride. And I loved black kids. These kids never scared me. So I joined this club called Interactor Unity. I forget what it is. I'll have to go back. I can go back and look, but I don't fucking care that much. So I was the only white guy in this group of people that just, I guess they were just doing it so they could go to real college where it would look good on a resume. It was a lot of people that didn't want to be there. So they named me fucking treasurer right off the bat. So I was treasurer of 2 fucking clubs, the Mixed Martial Arts Club and the Interact Club. That's just what I'm going to call it. Interact Club, the woman who ran it wasn't a teacher. She was just a student, and, me being mentally ill, I started noticing some weird shit going on with her right off the bat. Number one, she was power tripping off running a club in community college, which is weird because, like, when you're an adult, you don't have clubs anymore. Fucking, I don't really get the idea of clubs anymore. I don't get why that was a part of my life at that time. I don't get why I thought that was great, but I did. But, no one in this club notices that this girl, like, she has one eyebrow that she's constantly picking at. Constantly picking at, to the point where it's a huge diversion for me, because I'm staring at her, and she wasn't even picking the hairs. She would just pick the skin. So in my mind, I was going like, oh, okay. So meth head running the Interact Club. Hilarious. This club is great. I got a meth head president of the club. But then there was other stuff that would go on. Like, she and I, we were trying to run a fundraiser, where we could donate some money. I think it was to Haiti or some other fucking country. That for no reason, we were like, let's get some money over there. Let's give them $1,000 and see how far that goes. We're in community college and shit doesn't really matter yet. So, she and I are in a meeting, and I noticed a couple things. Number one, she's talking about sex a lot, and I know she doesn't want to have sex with me, because at that point in my life, still, no one ever wanted to have sex with me. I was skinny, smoked Jerums, I was pretentious, I was a loser, I was fucking crazy. Basically, by all means, I should have gotten a barbed wire tattoo and a fucking, an eyebrow ring at that point, because I was such a fucking loser. I should have been named Trent and fingered girls in my studio apartment. That's how much of a fucking loser I was. But I'm like, alright, so she's not sexually interested in me. And she's a year older than me, so she's 19. And I start realizing, I go, huh, she's way more sexually experienced than any other 20-year-old I know. Like, she's talking about some ruthless shit that she's into, or that she's had done to her. And that weirded me out, too. I was like, huh, she's saying she's had stuff done to her. I was like, I got a bunch of shit that I would say got done to me when I was younger, too. That fucked me up pretty good. So I'm noticing, I'm like, oh, this is not like someone who's addicted to drugs. This is someone who's mentally not well, who's running this club. So other things start sticking out to me. Number one, she wears this underwear. She wears granny panties and have bullet holes in them. So weird to begin with. Weird that she always has it popping out of her jean skirts. That was it. She wore a ankle length jean shirt or jean skirts. I just remembered. But she would have this bullet hole underwear sticking out of the top of it, granny panties, all the time. And I started noticing that, like, she wears these multiple days in a row. Now that's another sign that's fucking weirding me out, right? So. We're all working on this fundraiser, and basically, to be weird, we host like a punk concert, because I was really into punk at that time, find a lot of local punk guys. We get some coming in from Queens that people know. We get some real filthy fucking dudes coming out of Bay Ridge, because Bay Ridge was still scary at that point. It wasn't gentrified, it was just a bunch of fucking punk, just. And so we hold this concert, and I notice that she goes off with the band. I go off with the band for one of the bands first, because the guy and I are talking about how we're both living out of our cars at that point, how terrible it is. These are crust punks. But, like, we host a concert with the crust punks and fucking rappers for Unity. And it was terrible. We made maybe... after paying the bands out and everything, we made about $450 to donate to Haiti. But it turns out we didn't. This girl just pocketed the $450, and everyone else is freaking out. And then this girl goes, well, I stole the money because I need it because I'm pregnant. And I was like, huh, you're pregnant, huh? That $450 is going to go a long way. Everyone in the club was like, all right, you're pregnant, you need it, you can, you're keeping the kid. I was the only one that suggested she get it ripped out of her. she wasn't really pro-abortion, so she decided that she was going to have this kid. So fast forward a month or two later, I'm like, hey, shouldn't you be showing some signs, like, that you're pregnant? And she was like, oh, I'm having what they call a false pregnancy, where I don't show signs of pregnancy, but I am pregnant. It's because I have cancer. And at this point, I just start fucking clapping my hands. Everyone else in the club is like, oh my god, you're pregnant and you have cancer at the same time? Oh, your feet must be so swollen, but also so small from all the weight you're gonna lose. And I'm going, oh, fuck no. She's pulling off the greatest con that's ever fucking happened. I'm not telling anyone that in my mind I'm going, there's no way. I've never heard of anyone that gets pregnant and gets cancer at the same time. Anyone who's listening to this, you fucking tell me if you've ever heard of anyone that's pregnant and has cancer. Just like, do you pass the cancer along to the baby? I don't think that you can, like, I don't think you can get pregnant if you have really bad cancer. But everyone else is a dumb 18 to 20 year old, has no fucking clue. So they start doting over her, getting her gifts for her kid, all this shit. And then, fast forward to like a month or two later, still wearing those granny panties with fucking bullet holes in them, like an idiot, like a fucking mentally unwell person. You got a girl wearing jean skirts with bullet hole panties popping out and FUBU shirts, telling you she's pregnant with cancer, and no one's going, ah, red bell's going, or red flag's going up. No one's going, ah, bell's ringing here. All this shit seems too fucking convenient. So they buy her a bunch of baby gifts and stuff. And I'm in a meeting with her. It's just her and I, the treasurer, the president. And I look at her and I go, huh, pregnant and cancerous, huh? Probably, you going through chemo or anything? Because you haven't lost any hair. And you're not showing signs or anything of being pregnant. What's going on here? And so I ended up dropping out of that club after a few months because this dude, Wale, that was his name, Wally, but he went by Wale. He and I got in a huge fight in the pool, in a pool hall again. We had a pool hall on campus, had two pool tables. Wale had borrowed my pool cue. He wouldn't give it back, so he and I got in a fist fight in the middle of it. Security had broken it up, but basically he learned that just because you're from fucking Coney Island, it doesn't mean you're fucking tough. I had knocked out his front right tooth, and he had threatened to shoot me. I wasn't scared of that. My friend had offered me a gun. My good old friend JP had said that he'll start carrying his gun, and he'll give me a gun I can start carrying if need be. So I dropped out of Interact or Unity or whatever the fuck the name of it was. 2 months later, I was talking to a couple other kids from that club, and they're like, yeah, turns out our president had a mental breakdown. I was like, oh, really? I didn't call that early. And they're like, turns out she wasn't pregnant, she didn't have cancer, and she used the $450 to move to Florida, which was the best thing I have ever fucking heard. Because only crazy people fucking live in Florida. The other thing I want to talk about on this podcast is Merry Christmas, everyone! Merry Christmas! It's the time of the year where you get to go home and fuck with your family. I gotta drive 10 hours back to fucking New Jersey, down next to outside of Philadelphia, where my parents fucking moved. We moved from farmland in New Jersey to a fucking... They moved to a lake house in Voorhees, New Jersey. Bought a bunch of guns in South Jersey. That's what they figured they'd do when they retired. Shoot fucking guns and live in a retirement community with a bunch of old Jewish people. I was once walking my dog there and he took a shit in front of someone's house. And the lady was like, oh, I hope you're gonna... Old Jewish woman was like, I hope you're gonna clean up the shit. I hope you're gonna clean up that shit that you're leaving on the sidewalk. And I was like, yeah, I live right down the road. I'm gonna clean it up. And then I just never went back and cleaned it up. So still to this day, I never walk in front of that fucking house. I'm too worried that that woman's gonna remember my fucking face. Or she took a picture and she keeps it up on her wall. And she's just waiting to fucking find me again. But Christmas is a weird pagan religious ritual, right? When the Christians ransacked Alexandria in Egypt and burned the library of Alexandria, big thing that they did was make sure that they were keeping some so these Roman legionnaires are bringing back these Christian religions from the outskirts of the Roman Empire as they're trying to build the empire and conquer. They start bringing these other religions back into Rome. One is this one that worships the bull. I forget the name of the religion. Basically, you had to be baptized in bull's blood. And the other is the cult of Christianity. They were still considered a cult at this time. But part of Christianity, one of the things that they realized is you gotta keep people's other, like, you gotta keep their rituals together. You gotta keep them. So yeah, they ransack this, Christians ransack Alexandria as part of their rise to power in the Roman times. They're fucking up Egypt, and they rise to power, and no one fucking goes, these fucking rituals are the same as these weird rituals that we got in non-monotheistic religions, which, by the way, is bullshit. Christianity is not a monotheistic religion. You know how I know? You know how many Spanish people I've watched light prayer candles and pray to saints? Listen, if you're praying to a fucking saint, if you're praying to anyone that's not fucking your main god, it's not monotheistic. Jesus himself, Jesus, God, and the Holy fucking Spirit are three things in one. That's how we keep it a monotheistic religion. Three things in one. He's like the Megazord. He forms up like Voltron into God. His son is also him. And this Holy Spirit is also him. We got the Megazord. That's what Christianity needs to do to get people back. We got the Megazord. We worship a fucking Jesus God thing that forms up like Voltron. So it's a weird pagan religion that we still all fucking do. I don't know why we still fucking do it. But what I want to do is just give one tip to everyone to survive the holiday season. Because everyone's always fucking weirded out by it. My parents were big on asking me why I was always single. And then I did one thing that made them stop for forever. I said, I'm not single. She's just spending the holidays with her husband and kids. And my parents never fucking brought it up again. Never asked me why I was single again. Never asked me anything about my fucking life again on the holidays. They all call that joke ruined Christmas for everyone. Ruined it. Made everyone so fucking upset. And then the other thing I would do, I tell this joke on stage, I would get my grandpa really fucking hammered. He's 90 years old. He's on his way out. You should live it up. You should get hammered every day if you're 90 years old. But it'd get him so hammered, he would flirt with my brother's fiance. He'd just flirt with her. And my mom would be like, you can't say that to a nice young lady, grandpa. You're a good Catholic man. You know better than that. And I did this for years in a row. So finally, my mom goes, Grandpa, you can't say those things to a nice young lady. And I went, me, also drunk, went, shut up, Mom. You're just pissed off that you realize this is the kind of stuff that worked on Grandma. God rest her soul. So that was another time that I ruined Christmas. Alright, yeah, I'm gonna end this one. Guys, we did it. Ending the ranting. This ends the rant of a fucking crazy person. Who's been alone now for too long. Alright.